From the Word of God, Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. About this time, Jesus was informed that Pilate had murdered some people from Galilee as they were offering sacrifices at the temple. Do you think those Galileans were worse sinners than all other people from Galilee? Jesus asked. Is that why they suffered? Not at all. And you will perish too unless you repent of your sins and turn to God. And what about the 18 people who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them? Were they the worst sinners in Jerusalem? No, I tell you again that unless you repent, you will also likewise perish. From John chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, "Why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins?" "It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins," Jesus answered. "This happened so the power of God could be seen in him." And Psalm 23, all six verses. "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valleys, the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and your unfailing love, your mercy, will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. And thank God that we're not dependent upon one another to know his will or his word, but that it has been revealed accurately and in the power of his Holy Spirit and the power of God, which man legitimately cannot question. This morning I ask a question. Where was God in Hurricane Helene? Now, before this week, I'd never been in a disaster. Storms and troubles and difficulties, but never anything like this. And perhaps you too. The numbers of the dead, and I read reports and I listen to reporters, and it seems as like they've forgotten that those are people, not just numbers. This morning, the total that I found was 227 dead across Helene's path. And 75 missing in Asheville, North Carolina alone, and other places that haven't been counted. In fact, Helene is the second deadliest hurricane to hit the United States in 50 years. The floodwaters in the mountains of North Carolina, as Bonnie asks us to pray, where there have almost never been floods, have pushed houses and cars in their torrents and have swallowed whole towns. And as of my look this morning, 460,000 homes in Georgia and the Carolinas remain without power. And the total damage totals over $300 billion and is rising. Then I came to church this morning with more questions than answers. And no really satisfactory answers. Our questions are as old as the ages. The psalmist repeatedly asks, "How long? Why do they prosper and we suffer? Why hast thou forsaken me?" And the entire book of Job is one dealing with the question of suffering and pain and evil. Those questions are old because they've never been answered. And they will probably never be answered in this world. So, who do we blame? Theology based on blaming leads people to a sense of guilt in the face of tragedy. This happened because I have done something horrible. I've sinned against God, and I'm being punished. And so much pastoral counseling revolves around talking to folks and helping folks who have these ideas and trying to get them out of their heads. If we believe God is mad with us and out to get us, then the world becomes very frightening. It's an emotionally tormented state full of unjustified guilt. And it's something that God has called no man, no woman to preach. That's new guilt. We've got enough old guilt of our own without preachers giving us more. So are peace and confidence and trust possible? Consider some of the striking parallels between the world at the time of Jesus and our world here in the 21st century. And so much of His time is so like our time. First of all, it was a time when they trusted, when some trusted in government for everything. It was a time much like ours when some people, particularly those in positions of power, really thought that Rome could do it all, and if Rome didn't do it, then it wouldn't get done. Second, it was a time when people trusted in their wealth to make themselves invulnerable. They built fine houses, they constructed great palaces for their institutions, they even curried favor with God by parading their financial muscle before Him as if to say, "Here, God, let me show you how much you need me." It was a time in which your stature and your character were measured by the weight of the gold in your bags and in your pockets. It was a time, thirdly, when people trusted in their own ingenuity to get by. It was a time when people ignored faith, paid lip service to religion, but then they went and made their own way and made themselves their own gods, and they really no longer believed that God was involved in this world. For them, God was a remote abstraction that you hauled out on ceremonial circumstances and then just put Him away till the next time. And it was a time when people wanted to fix blame during times of tragedy. In the first passage we study, Luke 13, people reported that Pilate had murdered a group of Galileans as they were in the temple making sacrifice. They were worshipped, and for whatever reason, people came in and murdered them. And Jesus asked, "Do you think they were the worst sinners in Galilee? Of all the sinners in Galilee, do you think those people in that temple were the worst? Because they suffered in that fashion." And then He tells them about a news story about 18 people who had been killed when a tower collapsed on them. And He asked, "Do you think that those who died were the worst offenders, more so than all those who live in Jerusalem?" Now the answer in the first century in Galilee would have been a resounding yes. And even today, some would say yes. But Jesus' answer to the question of whether God singled out someone for tragedy because of sin was a resounding no. In John 9, our second passage, Jesus faced a similar question. He and his disciples are walking along one day, and they're sitting a man born blind. Everybody knew him. He was born blind. And the disciples said, Jesus, did he sin while he was in his mother's womb, prenatal sin, that he was born blind? Or was his parents' sin the fault that he was born blind? And Jesus said, it's not this man's fault. It's not his parents' fault. And he denied any connection between sin and divine punishment. So, who do we blame? Jesus didn't blame God, and neither should we. What happened because of Hurricane Helene is not of God. If you doubt that, read John 12:31. Jesus said, Satan is the ruler of this world. Well, if God's not to blame, where was he in Hurricane Helene? Some events in human history impact us so greatly that we will forever remember where we were when they happened. And the first one of those that I remember, I'll never forget sitting in typing class. Mrs. Miller's typing class at Southern High School in Oakland, Maryland. When Principal Johns came over the PA system and announced that President John F. Kennedy had been assassinated in Dallas, Texas. November 22nd, 1963. I'll never forget watching with Bonnie, who was home from school sick that day, as we watched Krista McAuliffe begin her journey into space as the first teacher to go up into space, only to have it end so abruptly and so tragically on January 28th, 1986. I'll never forget receiving a phone call from our daughter Amy on September 11th, 2001. I was upstairs in my office studying, and she said, Dad, an airplane has just crashed into the North Tower of the World Trade Center. And before I could get downstairs to turn on the TV, to turn on the Today Show that she was watching, she screamed over the phone, a second plane has hit a second tower. Those images are forever embedded in my memory. And although I'm a little bit fuzzy about the time, I'll never forget being awakened on Friday last because of a beeping sound Bonnie heard from computers and hearing that still small voice saying, move your car. Today, I want to ask and attempt to answer the question that's no doubt puzzling so many. Maybe someone will ask you or has asked you. Where was God in Hurricane Helene? Same place he was when Adam rebelled in Eden, waiting to cover his sin. The same place he was when Noah built an ark, protecting him from disaster. The same place he was when Job lost everything he had, proving himself to be God despite unfortunate circumstances. The same place he was when Abraham lapsed in faith, safeguarding the fulfillment of his promise. The same place he was when Joseph was rotting in prison, accomplishing for Joseph God's perfect will. The same place he was when Jonah was swallowed by a big fish, teaching Jonah that God's way is best. The same place he was when Daniel was thrown to hungry lions and was resting comfortably on a lionskin rug while jealous men sought to end his life because of Daniel's faithful testimony. The same place he was when Peter and John were beaten for preaching the gospel, being given greater opportunities for sharing the good news of Christ. The same place he was when Paul was shipwrecked, stoned, imprisoned, yet assured that all things work together for good to those who love God. Where was God in Hurricane Helene? Same place he was when Jesus hung on the cross, enduring the pain for the benefit of others. Never forget the horror, the agony, the anguish, the pain. Not just the thorns on his brow, not just the lashes on his back, not just the bruises from the reeds and the fists of his captors, not just the plucking of his beard, not just the spittle that was hurled at him, not just the nails in his hands and feet. All of this, yes, plus the weight of the sins of the world pressing down on his heart. Where was God when his one and only son hung dying on the cross? Where was God in Hurricane Helene? Where he has always been, providing peace to those who trust him. Well, I've talked about some questions. I don't know that I've answered them. Sometimes answers don't exist. I do know that God is loving, kind, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. I trust God even when I question, and even when I'm afraid, I trust God. One day, immediately after the storm, I said to Kathy, and I know I said it to a lot of folks, but I remember saying it to her first, I've been looking up all day and saying, why do I doubt you? I trust him. Sometimes I doubt, sometimes I'm afraid, sometimes I'm angry. But I'm a parent, like every one of you who are parents. And you know the difficulty of taking your child to the doctor or the health center for immunization. You load up the kid in the car, and on the first trip, all's fine till the needle is produced. By the second trip, there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The child grabs onto your neck and holds on and screams, no, Daddy, no! And still holds on tight. Somehow in the midst of that fear and the impression that in that moment you're causing the pain, still they hold you tight because they trust you. You are their rock. You are their strength. You are their security. You're all that they have at that moment. And they trust you. In the face of tragedy, I still may scream in protest to God, even though I know He's not guilty. I'm angry. I'm afraid. But I also cling tightly. I trust God. He's no tyrant. God holds me and He loves me and He gives me, and whosoever will, His peace. And let me remind you again of Psalm 23. The Lord, the God of all this, is my shepherd. And you say that and put your name in it. My shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green pastures. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to His name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, and when that valley is the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid because He is close to me. David said, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God, your rod and your staff comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely, your goodness and your unfailing love will pursue me. Chase me, catch me, pursue me. Never let me out of his sight. Never lose sight of me. Pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever.